Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Smile Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing all right. You?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, mate. I'm doing all right. How is recovery? How are you feeling?
Well, the final scab came off, as I disgustingly retold in our live reactions. So, yeah. Now it's at the stage where the hair just falls out. So I had about 24 to 36 hours of like, oh my God, I've got the hair I always wanted. And then it started to fall out every time I would like apply some new moisturizer to it. I'd look at my hand. And you know when you shave and you get lots of the little hairs? That's what it looks like. I'm like, oh gross. No, I'm molting. So
I've genuinely had about five people email me. I would say to the wrong email address. support@wrestletalk.com is the way to get in touch with us. They've been sending it to my personal work account, asking me where you got it done. Being like, hey, I've seen Mr. Davis got a hair transplant and it was real and it wasn't at work. And I think he looks great. Can you tell me more information about it? My first thought was A, support@wrestletalk.com. That's the place to send emails. But also B, why don't I know? I'm not the person to ask here. Surely the person you want to be asking. I feel like I'm Batista in all of this and people like complaining to him about the zombies at Backlash. And Batista's like, tag Vince. He's the one that did it.
I like how, well, no, you see, because people know Vince doesn't operate his own Twitter account. Neither do I. I'm not going to read those. I just immediately forward them to the support at WrestleTalk email address. And then I will check it there. Yeah, because if they've worked out your email address, surely they can work out mine.
Yeah.
Name plus at WrestleTalk.com.
Have you just blocked everyone? Like any email that doesn't come from like a business name email address, you're just like, well, I'm just sending that straight into the trash file because I've got no time for you little people.
No, I haven't. It is weird. That is weird that people are asking you. Was it when I was away?
No, this was like, the last couple of days I've been getting these messages.
Well, I'm happy they're positive. I don't want them sent to my personal work address because it's a GDPR nightmare. That's why we have a separate one set up. So any correspondence, support@wrestletalk.com, and I will happily put over the clinic that I had it done at, which was in a shopping center in Romford, which felt very weird. Not to go pristine local medical facility, but what from the front looked like a mobile phone repair shop. You know, the one with all the international SIM card deals?
Yeah. It's wall-to-wall phone accessories.
Yeah, and I thought it was like 10 to 8 on a Wednesday morning, and it was cold, and it was slightly pitter-pattering with rain, and I was scared and just, yeah, didn't know what to do. I couldn't even listen to a podcast. I just had to listen to music. I was so worried. And I just looked at this front, and one of the lights for the sign wasn't working. And I just thought, have I made the right decision?
Oh, no.
Because your mind's just looking for any red flag. But as soon as I get in there, and I got past how outdated all the magazines were in the waiting room, and weirdly catered towards women in what I imagine is like 90-95% male traffic for their business.
But I'm like, waiting rooms, is there like a waiting room supplier? That just, you know, like all doctors' offices and things like that, and like dentists and that, all have the same magazines. So is it that someone who works at this hospital or, you know, clinic or whatever goes to a newsagent to buy said magazines? Or is it a case of there is a supplier in the UK that supplies to doctors' waiting rooms? And so they basically just have a select number of magazines that they get and just send out every month.
I think it's a good hustle, isn't it? Because that there is a market for content in those places, although they're kind of outdated now because everyone has a phone. And I'd be surprised if anyone uses magazines in waiting rooms now, that everyone has everything published in the whole of human existence pretty much at their fingertips. But yeah, once a magazine's gone out, it's out of its shelf life, but people are captured, aren't they? So sure, Angling Weekly from November 2018.
Take a break from October 2020. Find out what's happening in the soap operas 8 months ago. There could be a market for it.
I used to, so my mum and her friend Tracy, who used to cut my hair, would, in her living room, you know, not in a shop, they would trade magazines. So they weren't buying the same magazines, that they'd have a sort of system going. And it was all of the stuff that was happening in the soaps. Mm-hmm. And I would devour those. Yeah. I would like, oh my, it's what we do for wrestling news.
I remember, so when I used to work at The Entertainer, which is a toy shop here in the UK, it's a toy shop chain. There was a girl that used to work there who used to buy those sorts of magazines. Like that was her like weekly thing that she would like on a Wednesday or whatever the magazine, whenever the day would come out, she'd buy like OK or like Hello or something like that. And I remember once reading in there, and it was an article by, oh man, I cannot remember, but I think she was like a Big Brother personality or something like that, who then was like, her gimmick was, she's a bit wacky, isn't she? So we've given her a magazine thing. Maybe that wasn't a gimmick. Maybe she was just like, oh, the one treating as a serious journalist and this, that, and the other. But I remember reading in this magazine, it was just after Heath Ledger had died and he got the Oscar nomination. And this woman wrote in this magazine, I think that they should give Heath Ledger the Oscar for The Dark Knight. I think he deserves it. I've not seen the film, but I've heard he's really good at it.
That's how the Oscars work. No one watches all the films.
Well, that's what I thought. And I was like, huh, you got paid to write that. You got paid column inch space.
Hey, Luke, mate, they got paid. They didn't actually write it, though, to be fair. It would have been an intern who wrote it and then published it under their name. So they got paid, but not to write it.
Well, yeah,
don't blame them.
Yeah. It's a bit like how Katie Price hasn't actually written any books. She's published a lot of books with her name as the author, but they're ghostwritten by someone else. And then she just puts her name on it at the end.
It's a great hustle, outsourcing.
Well, absolutely. Also, we had this email in from Lucas. He said, I know it's become a running gag of Ollie with his Amazon Echo, but has no one realized you can just change what the word is? So when Ollie talks about Alexa Bliss, his Echo won't wake up. And then he goes through step by step how to change the settings. Is this something you're interested in? Do you want me to delete this email?
No, you can delete it. But thank you. Sorry, what was that name?
Lucas.
Thank you, Lucas, for sending it in. Now, we're happy with saying her name. I'm not going to say it now because she's always listening. But there's a little button on the top where I can just press it, which is what I never do. I only remember it as I say Alexa Bliss's name. Mm. It's very annoying. It surprised me today because I speed through Alexa Bliss's name I heard it again. Whenever I do the news recordings now, so I'm right next to it. And it's working. Hasn't jumped up or made the little noise for a couple of weeks. And about 2 minutes after I said the name, she goes, blip, blip, blip. I cannot help you right now. Like, what the? Come on.
For a second, I thought you said she said the word blup, blup, blup.
Blup! We have found the clip of the Undertaker you have requested. Blup!
Blup! Right, anyway, let's get into a Raw, because we get to talk a bit about Alexa Bliss today. Here is the show.
There has been a major injury to one of the longest running uninjured guys on the WWE roster. Coming out of WrestleMania Backlash, The Miz has reportedly torn his ACL. This comes from Dave Meltzer and a bunch of other things, but specifically from the Wrestling Observer here. He tore his ACL, but we don't know the exact severity of the tear. They hoped it was a partial tear. That might not be that serious, but if it's a full tear, which they don't know yet, I presume he's going for scans or whatever in, is it Pittsburgh or Atlanta where they usually do the medic stuff?
I'm not sure. It's one of those two, I think.
It's wherever Edge shows up before he comes back to it's pass the WWE medical.
It's wherever the factory that makes Z-Packs is based.
Mm. It cuts down on shipping costs. It's right next door. You get one in a goodie bag if you go for a consultation. But yeah, if it's a full tear, that means he'll have to undergo surgery, which means you're looking at 7 to 9 months out. And it was all for the worst match of the year with the zombie lumberjack Damian Priest versus Miz match. Isn't that wonderful? I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Luke Owen. We're reviewing Raw today, but we are starting off with this Miz chat.
Yes, we are indeed, yeah. So poor old Miz, this is awful news. Like, I'm hoping that it's not as serious an injury as is currently being reported. Because, like, as I said, they don't know the severity of this yet. So I think it's you know, we're all hoping, obviously, that it's something that is less bad than that. It is the lesser end of an injury. I mean, you were the one who actually kind of spotted it during the match while we were watching this, which is because I saw, you know, him land awkwardly. Like, Damian Priest does the cartwheel kick off the top rope during this lumberjack that had actual zombies in it, and he lands on Miz and lands on his knee, and Miz instantly clutches at his knee, and you said, oh, I think Miz is hurt, and then, like, Miz just, like, he gets back up and he just carries on, and it almost feels like nothing bad had happened. And we all just sort of like, ah, it's okay. Looks like he's fine. Turns out that might have been the spot actually where he legit got hurt. And I think you were saying as well that it was a pre-taped match as well. It wasn't live in front, I was about to say live in front of a crowd. It wasn't live in front of the Thunderdome at the time. It was actually just a pre-taped thing.
Yeah, this is the Wrestling Observer again. And I guess, you know, you had a lot of spots there and zombies, and they sort of flooded the arena with smoke and spooky effects. So yeah, they had taped that in advance. That was a pre-tape that they inserted in the live broadcast of Backlash. And yeah, so maybe during that moment they did stop the match. I remember, you know, Miz clutched his leg immediately. What a bad week for people landing on legs in moves, by the way. We had it with Sheamus and Humberto Carrillo quite scarily last Monday, and we'll talk about Sheamus again getting Ricochet landed on his legs. So we'll talk about that later. But yeah, maybe in this match, this is just me speculating, but they stopped the match for 30 seconds to a minute, maybe, to check on Miz. And he's like, yeah, I can finish the match. But because it was a pre-tape, they had the luxury of taking that out of what we saw at Backlash. And it looked like Miz got right back up.
Yeah, that's probably a good point, actually. And you mentioned as well that it's unlike the Miz to get injured. Like, one of his big gimmicks is, I don't get injured. I'm not the guy that gets injured and is put on the shelf for 10 months. I'm the reliable one. And, like, you know, in this instance, technically wasn't his fault that he got injured. Priest landed on his leg. I'm not saying that Priest is at fault either. I'm not saying that Priest is to blame. Accidents happen within the ring. But yeah, it just seemed like Miz has never he never gets injured. Like, the only time he ever takes off from this company is to make a film no one watches or a reality show no one watches.
Yeah, he works a much softer style. That's what he leans into. He's all about, yeah, he's all about just doing it the professional way. You know, there's no need for wrestling to hurt each other. That's kind of the point that people seem to forget all the time. And there is, you know, there's a craft to that. Kane is sort of the other name that comes to mind as someone who never really suffered a long injury, which is remarkable because, you know, much bigger guys tend to pick up injuries a lot more frequently than other people. But yeah, I mean, he's about 40 years old now. It's a tough business. It hits everyone. And weirdly, mm-hmm. you know, it's come at a time, pretty routine. Aren't they all, though? It's always a pretty routine move. It's nothing hugely spectacular. And it's at a time when they're not touring. So if anything, they've had more time off than ever to sort of recuperate in between matches.
It sucks that it comes in a stupid zombie match, though. Yeah. A match that, like, I don't think anyone enjoyed on a realistic basis. I think a lot of people ironically enjoyed it because it was bad and it was very terrible. So it was very, very sad to see him get injured in that. But, you know, at least he can take some time off and sell the zombie mauling and zombie eating. Unlike John Morrison, of course, who was just on this show and was just like, phew. Bit weird, wasn't it? Zombies and that. Better go out and just have another match with Damian Priest, I guess.
I told you that's what they would do. I told you they would not address it. To which we talk about this then, because, and I'm sure I certainly thought it when this match was announced for Raw and it happened. I just thought, I cannot. I'm almost glad this is happening just because Luke can react to it. Yeah, we got another Damian Priest versus John Morrison and or The Miz match.
I know people are expecting me to get mad. I know people are expecting me to blow my lid and get real mad. And I got a bit mad in my notes, guys. Like, I was a lot of all caps in there. I wrote, because it was during the Sheamus Ricochet match, this little graphic pops up of Damian Priest versus John Morrison in a lumberjack match. And I wrote in all caps, they announced Damian Priest versus John effing Morrison in an effing lumberjack match. F this show. And then in the match, like, okay, so I think I'm past it now because I literally said on the Backlash review, he'll just face John Morrison on Raw. So I don't know why we're all thinking this is the end of the feud. He's going to face Miz or John Morrison on Raw. I was ready for this. I was expecting it to happen. And it happened. And it absolutely happened. What winds me up, I said I wasn't going to get wound up, and look at me, I'm getting wound up as I'm talking about this. Oh, it got to me. It happened.
It's like you're hulking. It's like what's happening right now is the heel is punching you in the face and you're going,
oh. Right, like, because Damian Priest comes out and Corey Graves just goes like, Damian Priest is riding a wave of momentum. I was like, you're a liar, Corey Graves. No, he isn't. Stop lying to me. And then at the end of this match, because guess what, guys? Priest won again. Adnan Virk just says, what a win for Damian Priest. I was like, what do you mean, what a win? It's a win I've seen 3 weeks in a row. I saw it. Oh, it's so. But then Damian Priest cut a promo with Not Renee. And Not Renee asked him, like, what do you have to say about your big victory? If I'm Damian Priest, I'm like, what big victory? I've beaten this lad from pillar to post 6 months out of this year, and it's only 5 months long. How is it a big win? But you know what? I've put a pin in it now, and it's done, because I might challenge Bobby Lashley later on. He didn't. But at least Damian Priest said that this is the end of it now. And I feel like it's only the end of it now because The Miz might be out for 9 months. So they have to end it. Like, The Miz getting injured, if I'm looking for any silver lining to this awful ACL tear cloud, is that this might actually end the feud.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Monday Night Raw after the pay-per-view is kind of the WrestleMania backlash. So you're going to get a lot of repeat matches from the pay-per-view anyway. And we did. Matches that were also repeats.
It's Raw. It's Raw. Raw. Every week's a backlash show then, because we get the same frigging matches every week.
It's WrestleMania backlash season. That's the whole idea. It's genius in marketing. Because then you can put all of these episodes up on Peacock Premium and call it WrestleMania Raws. It's WrestleMania Raws. All of the Raws are going to have the same matches, and you will find those when you search for them. So Priest didn't turn out later to sort of challenge Bobby Lashley, but I've got a theory we'll get on to. Fingers crossed on this one. I'm really behind it. That maybe he will still factor into the main event scene, which I think would be a good way to leave this behind. Let's do some hyper chats.
Because we didn't get to query talk, just because we didn't really get to talk about the lumberjack match itself. Or I felt bad for all of those lumberjacks. Talk about because Mason T-Bar were out there. Mason T-Bar, by the way, also cut a promo where they'd be like, hey, maybe we'll challenge Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. And then they were out there as lumberjacks. And I was like, well, that should tell you everything you need to know about how WWE actually see them as potential main eventers. Because they were out there with all the other geeks, Akira Tozawa, Humberto Carrillo, poor Mansoor. Like he had this debut 2 weeks ago, and his debut was he lost a DQ match. He lost to a DQ in Sheamus, and then that's it. And he hasn't been on TV since. Now he's a lumberjack with all the rest of the geeks and War Raiders. Like they came back for a big thing. Now they're just geeks. Sorry, the Viking Raiders. Now they're just geeks on the outside with all the other geeks.
Get us demonetized saying stuff like war. It's so offensive. The War Raiders. Didn't even mean to do that. The Viking Raiders were the ones that got me as well, because I was like, oh, Viking Raiders are back. And I forgot they'd already made their return from 9 months out of injury. I was like, oh, yeah. And we keep saying that Raw doesn't have any tag teams. That's why they have to keep putting singles guys together. But actually, they've got quite a few tag teams. They just hate them. Also, Cedric and Shelton were a part of this as well. And Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross, who was also back now after not being used for a while, she was brought back for main event. And, like Jinder Mahal, the idea was after a main event, bring back, you then come back on Raw. Nowhere near her Alexa Bliss counterpart to ask what's going on there. She's just inexplicably a lumberjill in this lumberjack match.
I have a theory on this one. She asked to be out there. Because like all she's been tweeting about is just like, I want to wrestle. I want to be out there on TV. I don't want to be sat in the back doing nothing. I want to be out there. And so she went to someone and said, I want to just put me out there. Just let me be on the show. And they were like, well, it doesn't matter because it's lumberjobbers anyway. So you may as well just just go and stand out with the rest of them. Because the commentary kept highlighting her being like, Nikki Cross really making the most of this opportunity, really making a name for herself in this opportunity she's been given. I genuinely think it was Nikki Cross backstage was like, just let me go on TV for a bit, will you? Crikey, let me do something rather than sit back here.
Please, please let me go into the match and be a lumberjobber, as you so brilliantly put, and awkwardly not be allowed to partake in any of the physicality. There was a big suplex spot to the outside and she had to just stand over on the other pit of the apron like, woohoo, yay. I'm a woman and I cannot possibly get involved with any of the men. But whatever.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter,
Monitor, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what the Hyper Chats have to say. Remember, wrestletalk.com/support. Get them in there. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. And thank you very much to our wonderful members, the YouTube members. There's a little button underneath this stream on YouTube right now. You can get your own emotes. All the kids are doing the emotes.
Badges.
Stickers. I don't know if we got stickers. I don't know what any of that is. Anthony Velasquez says, Sean Ross Sapp said it best on his podcast last night when this was a monkey's paw curse type of show, gave us some good things, but it also came with a price. What price? What's he talking about there?
Well, so Sean's gimmick now is that it's Monday, it's monkey night paw. So, which is very good, actually, which is just like, we keep asking for these things and then they give us it, but it's a cursed version of it. So it's like, oh man, I really want AJ Styles to face someone new. It's Elias. It's like, oh no, you're right. It's like, want Kofi Kingston back in the main event. It's all about distraction finishes and making all the people look bad.
And Not A Real Doctor in Training says, although it was an accident, I can't help but think Miz's injury marks the end of any chance for Damian Priest on the main roster, and he will be viewed by Bruce and Vince as dangerous. Do you think Miz might choose to retire following this first injury? I think no on both counts, because they put him over strong on commentary. They did not bury him the night after. If they were angry with him, this is when you would have seen it. And if anything, they put him over the best he's ever looked.
Not A Real Doctor in Training. He got a big win over John Morrison. A huge win. And he's riding a wave of momentum.
Vandalia, 1998. I guess with Miz injured for a while, the fear of him returning with a zombie gimmick last night was quelled. Thank God for that. On the subject of Kofi, Matthew Makovsky. I love Kofi, but to have him effing pin the second hottest thing in WWE behind Roman? Nah, that S is F. Unbelievably stupid. What the actual F, this is all in caps, by the way. Did Vince smoke last night? And even worse, he was undefeated since January 4th.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was actually quite a fun little main event.
I thought it was pretty good too. Sorry, Matthew Makovsky. I also didn't Lashley is the second hottest thing in the company either anymore. Ever since Almighty overtook Hurt Business, nowhere near as cool. Matthew Makovsky again, though. Maybe I'm being a tad harsh. The chemistry was decent. All right. This is a tale of two hyper chats here. Also, they made this match because it was the one-year anniversary of Shad Gaspard's death. So it sort of makes sense. Also, Bobby with the girls at the beginning was straight goat S-word. I don't know if goat S-word is like, well, that's rubbish, or it's like greatest of all time S-word.
Mm. Yeah, I
think S-word crazy. Isn't a saying, is it?
Well, yeah, no, I think it is. Like,
you would say S-word or dog S-word if it was bad.
Saying, like, he's saying goat S-word is in like its greatest of all time S-word. Also, Matthew Makovsky, I love that sort of like flip of a coin, like Taysen Meebar's new gimmick of flipping coins and that.
It sums up the internet so well, I think. You know, you post something. And what most people don't do is they don't follow up. Oh, you know what? Maybe I was too rash. They just walk away and think that to themselves and leave this horrible thing on the internet. Whereas Matthew Makovsky, he's like, no, I'm going to show you my thinking in process here. Anthony Velasquez, just two more. Ollie, I hope you're right about the WWE title scene and we get new matchups. But knowing WWE, it will just be Drew versus Bobby again at Hell in a Cell. And Vandalia 1998, 3 out of 5. I think that's the highest Raw rating we've had in a while. It's sad when you actually cheer for average ratings. I'm excited to see what they do with the Kofi win, but also scared because I've been excited before. Yes. Well, let's get into this Raw review now. We'll answer all the other hyper chats at the end of the show. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get them in. We'll be right back. But the show did begin with Bobby Lashley coming out from his locker room, sort of a cold open, flanked by five women. And, you know, sort of doing the heel, look at all the beautiful women I have. It's implied that MVP got them for him, I think.
I'm pretty sure that was what they were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fun. And someone said, and I'm so annoyed I didn't do this joke. It's his five beautiful sisters. Now's the time to bring back that gimmick.
I nearly spat my tea out then. That really made me laugh.
But, you know, that triple threat at Backlash was so goddamn fun. I was really, really... I'm like, as soon as I saw Lashley, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to be in. I'm ready for this again. And he comes out and he's like, open challenge MVP says. I was like, yes, Keith Lee, answer the challenge now. And Drew McIntyre came out in his trunks. I was like, oh, God, of course it is. I love Drew, but I'm no interest in seeing this again. He comes out and MVP says like, oh, you didn't let me finish. Open challenge to anyone but Drew or Braun Strowman. And I was like, great. And throughout the night, this set up a sort of night-long storyline of loads of different people saying, I'm going to answer the challenge. I'm going to answer the challenge. I thought this was a good segment and it set up a good narrative backbone for the episode.
Yep, really, really like this. I thought Bobby was great. I thought MVP was great. Credits to WWE as well. Shout out to WWE. Women of various different sort of sizes and body types as well. It was a nice, like, it wasn't, they weren't all just like one type. It was actually just, it was praising, it was body positivity. And I enjoyed that. And I thought that was really, really nice, actually. It's nice to see.
If you're going to objectify... objectify equally. That's what I've always said. I'm not even kidding there. I'm being sincere. I'm all for objectification. Just do it to both men and women. That's equality.
And I like, you know, like you, because I was doing some push-ups and sit-ups while I was watching this, because I was like, it's the opening segment of Raw. I don't actually need to take any notes. So I'll do all of my exercises now while I've got my headphones in. And when Drew came out, I was like, oh man, just getting a repeat of everything. And then when MVP was like, huh, but not you, there was a little bit of me that was like, huh, maybe we will get something new tonight. And we actually did. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, actually.
Unfortunately, after that, we did get something new and it was rubbish. AJ Styles and Elias had a match that felt like it was never going to end. I don't know who the babyface was here. AJ Styles certainly worked as a babyface in this match. But they were tagging together last week.
Yeah, but that was last week. Like, this is this week. So I guess AJ's just the babyface now. Well, the face up against the heel tag team, so one of them's got to be the babyface.
Well, they wrestled forever. It was boring. I couldn't get invested in anything. Nope. It's an AJ Styles match. I'm just like, whatever. And Ryker, after all of this, just causes the DQ and runs off. No point to any of this. No, like, little bit of satisfaction. Ugh. Rubbish.
Crap finish number one on this show, which was full of pretty crap finishes. And this match went on. This match went longer than the SmackDown tag team match at Backlash, which I think is still going on.
Did
this
it?
Match, like, no, it didn't.
I thought you worked out the timings.
No, okay. No, God, no. No, this match went on forever. I can find out how long it went, but it felt like it went 20 minutes if it went a day.
Apparently. It is SP3's birthday.
It is, yeah.
It's up in the chat.
I know.
Happy birthday, SP3.
It's SP3's birthday. It's Denise Salcedo's birthday as well. So it's like the
birthday fight.
It's the WrestleTalk expanded universe, like, birthday today. So I've had very nice messages from SP3 and Denise today. So happy birthday to the both of them. Can confirm it was 12 minutes long, this match.
That's
so it was actually
long.
5 minutes shorter than the SmackDown tag match.
SP3, you can see him on Wrestling Daily tonight. I think he's tagging with Alex McCarthy tonight. And if you ask me, I think SP3 is the better of the two birthdays today.
I think he's also going to do great on Wrestling Daily tonight. It's the call-in show as well, so it'll be a really fun time. Go and have a chat with SP3. He's a proper lovely lad.
After that Styles-Elias match, we got Riddle doing a sort of parent trap thing backstage. This was good. New Day are there and Randy Orton's there. He has told them to come and meet backstage because Adam Pearce wants to tell them something, but really he just wants Randy to apologize to the New Day for RKOing them from out of nowhere last week. Kofi said he suffered from erectile dysfunction, which was very, very good wordplay. And, you know, this was a really good segment. Started out comedic, but Kofi then got some fire. He's got a lot of history with Orton, something that I would like explored more, but, you know, I'll take what I'm given. And Kofi was like, no, you're not going to apologize. Even if you apologized, we won't accept it. Let's have a match later. Let's do it like it's 2010. Do it like it's 2019.
Yeah, I thought this was a great segment. I thought Riddle was really good, and I loved Randy Orton in this segment. When he walks up and he's just like, he told me that Adam Pearce wanted to say something. That's when Riddle reveals this whole parent trap thing. And Riddle's like, look, bro, I just want you to apologize for what you did. And Randy's like, I'm not going to apologize because I'm not sorry. And I was like, yes, that's good, Randy. If you're not sorry, then don't say it.
Unfortunately, then we got probably the worst thing on the show, which was Alexa Bliss's playground segment with the new tag team champions, Natalia and Tamina. Not the most charismatic interview presences in general. And they were sort of up against the Bliss's stuff, which I am so over. So, so over. And Bliss just does like, oh, look at Lily. Lily wants to know what your favorite color is. And they're like, and Natalia's like, a pink. And Tamina's like, you're black and blue because that's what you're going to be. And Bliss goes, do you ever like to swat the flies away and pull the wings off the flies? And like, it's so boring. Natalia and Tamina just walk off and she's just like, ugh. Hated it.
Why did they go? It's like Alexa Bliss was like, well, I've invited them into the playground. I was like, why would you go? Isn't she supposed to be scary? All the other women in the roster, aren't they supposed to be scared of Alexa Bliss because she's gone mad? Because Natalia and Tamina just went there and acted like this was the most normal thing in the world. They were like, cool, swing set. Yeah, I'll sit here. It's all right. If you can stand just behind me, that'd be great. Because, I mean, maybe they were scared, but Natalia's the worst actor in the world. So she just didn't actually convey that she was scared. She was trying, but did not actually know how to act like she was scared.
They were scared. That was my
were
reading.
They?
They were definitely doing this.
They were just like, yeah, cool. I guess, yeah, it's a swing set, I guess. While Alexa Bliss is like, I do very much appreciate your impersonation of her, but because she's like, what's your favorite color? It's just the apps. I'm so over this. I'm so done with it. It's basic 101, I'm a creepy character lameness. And she's going to win the tag titles. Like that, I put this out into the world last week, but apparently I'm a prognosticator. And I'm not the first person to have that hot take either, that Alexa Bliss and the Voodoo Doll are going to win the tag titles, because that's probably what they're going for. And in all of this, they just announced a rematch with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Because of course there's a rematch, because this company doesn't know how to do anything new.
I don't know. It's like WWE weren't satiated by ruining the Fiend with all the bad booking. They're like, no, let's now give his gimmick to someone else and run that into the ground harder. And then, because when the Fiend comes back, this is slowly chipping away at all of his lore and mythology he's built up. After that, we got Angel Garza versus Drew Gulak. Angel Garza squashed Gulak and put the rose in his mouth at the end. So at least they're doing something.
Yeah, are they? I mean, you're right. It's on telly, so it is something. It's, you know, follow on from what they did 2 weeks ago where he put the rose up his bum. Now, and then he said last week he put the rose in his mouth. And so he put the rose in his mouth.
Was it the same rose?
It might have been,
to mouth.
No. Get yourself some ulcers that way. I honestly forgot this was on telly until we got to this review here. And I was like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
I wish I could forget the 24/7 titles on the telly. I feel like it's been gone for a while and I haven't missed it at all. 24/7 title, R-Truth was rolled up by Akira Tozawa.
One for
Wikipedia.
You could genuinely convince me that this was a segment that was taped and aired 6 months ago. And aside from the fact that Kevin's there, would have believed you.
Yeah. I mean, you could say that about a lot of Raw. Do you want to hear my line that I was happy with? in my news today. Eva Marie is still coming soon. So's Kevin Dunn, but it's right. Oh, I screwed up the light. Kevin Dunn, meanwhile, is coming right now because Eva Marie got two promo vignettes here. Yeah, really seems like they think she's a babyface, that being this super hot influencer role model is going to make people actually cheer for her like she's overcome great adversity. But she, yeah.
Isn't she a heel?
No, she's a baby face.
Come on. No,
she's a baby face.
This promo package is a heel's promo package.
No, this is what Bailey does.
Bailey is the heel. She's the role model. This is exactly what she does. I'm the role model to people because people want to be like me.
I agree with you. But WWE reportedly see it as a babyface act.
No, there's no way. There's no way that's true.
Think of Vince and think of Kevin Dunn.
There's no way that's possible. There's no way anyone can look at that video package and be like, oh, what a babyface. No way on this green earth that is possible.
Well, WWE constantly surprising us all the time. Randy versus Kofi came next, which was, you know, a decent match. Nothing out of the ordinary, but, you know, they've always got good chemistry. And the finish came when Xavier distracted Randy with the trumpet. Kofi got yet another roll-up win. The sort of distraction, roll-up, babyface scurries away. I hate that. And we saw it like four or five times on this show. But that's what happened here. But at least this had an element of intrigue. Because then they all get in the ring. Riddle's kind of like, dude, why did you do that? I thought we were going to settle the differences in a man-on-man way. Can't think of a better way to say it than just man-on-man. Randy, who was the hothead last week, walks away from the situation. Very un-Randy-like. It's almost like Autumn wanted to change for his pal Matt. But Matt this time was like, no, you screwed him over. You were meant to make up. And he pushes Woods down on the ground and then he walks out and New Day like, oh, screw you. I think this, I'm stunned how well this story and Riddle and Orton's relationship is building. I'm very, very much looking forward to the New Day versus this team.
Aside from the finish, I loved this. And like, and do you know what? And the finish really in and of itself isn't the worst thing because it was sort of foreshadowing for what would happen later on in the night. It makes the people that Kofi's facing in looks like utter imbeciles because they're just like, a trombone? What? What do you mean a trombone? You're playing a, oh no, and I've been rolled up.
It's better than MVP.
Drew.
Yo, Drew. What? I hear your mom's going out with Squeak.
Like, it's so, that aside, I love everything about this. And you know how we were saying in the Backlash live stream, it's like, isn't it weird that the Roman Reigns storyline is the best thing in WWE right now, and it's the storyline where Roman reportedly has all of the like creative control and he's heavily involved in the sort of creative direction of this. Isn't it funny that this is the best thing on Raw and it's reportedly the one that Randy Orton requested that they do? Because he was like, you're going to work with Braun Strowman. He was like, that don't work for me, brother. I'm going to work with Matt Riddle if it's all right with you. And now it feels like Randy's got like the sway to kind of like push this in the direction that he wants it to head into as almost a reward for the terrible Fiend stuff they put him through for 6 months. So like, yeah, isn't it weird that like the good stuff on the show is the stuff that the wrestlers are actively involved in?
Doesn't always work, though. I think Bliss might be behind some of her stuff. Jay Prize, man to man, is the expression I was looking for. Thank you. Not man on man. We've got all the blonde Raw women and Naomi standing in a row backstage. They're all blonde. They're all the same. It's so weird, isn't it?
This segment, they were all standing in a row. So mad awkward. In this office that has two entrances, by the looks of it, because heels and faces just often walk in from different sides.
No, Rhea Ripley's just standing slightly off shot. So they're all standing in a row.
I have to say that there's two doors. Otherwise, it makes my head explode.
Whatever makes you sleep at night, man. Adam Pearce is in the middle. Charlotte walks in, stands directly in front of Pearce, which I quite enjoyed. I think that was character-based. And she's like, No. Go away. Other women, and all the other women like, okay, sorry, Charlotte, and they walk off, and Charlotte's like, I should get a shot because I wasn't pinned. Fair. And Rhea Ripley just walks in from 2 feet away and says, no, mate, No. And she's just, it's just the set. Remember how much we liked her at Backlash?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, she is great. It was right back to that crap Raw script and again. And she was like, no, you can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. And Charlotte versus Asuka later on.
Naomi, Lana, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose were standing in a row so they could argue over who deserves to get the next title shot at Tamina and Natalya. And if I'm Adam Pearce or Sonya Deville, I'd be like, why? You never win matches. You only win matches against each other. And then you lose when you go for the tag titles. I know, because I've been booking those matches since October last year. And Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, of all people as well, the people that 4 weeks ago told me it was fine to walk away from a match because it was the better thing to do. And you got more out of it. And I'd be like, I think we deserve a title shot. These four women can get in C. I don't like any of them, and I think they're all trash people, and they have got terrible characters, and it's not their fault. It's trash creative, but the creative has made me think that they're trash people who need to go in the trash.
So after that, speaking of the women's tag titles, we got Tamina and Natalya coming out for the rematch against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to defend their freshly won belt. Went barely a minute when the turnbuckle exploded in pyro and Reginald was blinded. And Nia Jax was like, oh, my darling Reginald. And that was enough for Shayna Baszler to get distracted. And she was also beaten. And the pyro was, of course, the supernatural work of Alexa Bliss standing at the top of the ramp. It was crap.
And then there's like Liddy's laughing there is playing. And the commentators are like, God, what is that laugh? Can you hear that laugh? It's like, it's Liddy. You know it's Liddy. She's been around for ages. We know it's Liddy. What is that laugh? Can you hear that laugh? Wonder where that laugh is coming from. Idiots.
After that, we got Sheamus versus Ricochet. And what I thought was an even...
Sorry, you go. Yeah, I mean, you just finished. It was a great match. Yeah, yeah. But may I will explain the setup for this.
In what was an even better match than the match they had on the pre-show, I thought. But Sheamus just beat him clean again, this time with a brogue kick. I fully expect this feud to continue. But Sheamus has beaten him very decisively on two back-to-back nights now. But yes, tell us how this came about. Oh, I'm full of
today. So Sheamus came out, as Sean Ross Sapp would put, and he was mad because... Ricochet had stolen his coat and hat, which we saw at Backlash, right? And he was like, I accuse Ricochet of stealing my coat and hat. And I'm there going like, why are you accusing him? You know that he did it. You were looking at him when he did it. And they cut backstage and whoever is interviewing Ricochet says, what have you got to say about the accusations that you stole Sheamus's hat and coat? And I'm like, why would... We literally saw him do it. And Ricochet's like, well, I can't possibly say that. I mean, I wore them for a bit, but I didn't steal them. And then he walks off stage, and then he comes back on, wearing the coat and hat, says, oh, no, actually, I did steal them. And I'm like, lol. What is going on here? What was with the accusations? Why didn't you just say you stole it? Why are we going like, I am accused you of stealing this, when we all saw him do it, and then he pretended he didn't, but he actually had, and we saw him do it. This was maddening, and he's an absolute dickhead, and he acted like a complete dickhead, and I wrote in my notes here, I want Sheamus to kick this goofball's head clean off his shoulders, and thankfully, he did. Good match.
Come on, man, they've got 3 hours to fill. Cut WWE some slack. You need to have some accusations thrown around before you get to the meat of the segment.
Gotta pad this out.
We alluded to this earlier. They did a Spanish fly off the top rope, and mid-air rotation, Ricochet sort of twisted onto Sheamus's leg and ended up landing on Sheamus's leg. And Sheamus was then like, oh, my leg, which is just crazy coincidence after last. Either they're amazing and they planned this.
Yeah,
because then Ricochet then started to target the leg. So I fully believe it was okay. But I think it was a fluke, just like a fluke accident, because the Carrillo thing last week was almost exactly the same. Sheamus just unfortunately landed on Berto Carrillo's leg, which injured him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't actually pick up on it much, but like, I thought this match was terrific, to be honest. The two work really, really well together. Ruined by a bad story, ruined by commentary, because Corey Graves, their heel, is talking about how Ricochet is stealing someone's property, which is a bad thing to do. But you've got to then have babyface Byron Saxton being like, no, no, he was totally right in doing that. So Corey Graves then has to call out the babyface being like, are you advocating stealing other people's property? Like, it's a good thing to do. Byron's like, yeah, if they're dicks. And I was like, what is this?
No one knows what's going on. After that, we got Mace and T-Bar. Oh, no, sorry. Sheamus then accepted the open challenge for Bobby Lashley. I was like, okay, cool. Champion versus champion. Then we got Mace and T-Bar doing gruff voices. We're so scary. And they're like, should we end Bobby's legacy? And they flip a coin and they're like, yes, we will. And so that's part of their gimmick now. They flip coins.
Been hilarious if it would be like, oh, no, the coin says no. Yeah, I guess we won't then.
And then to show, you know, how much they meant, they're lumberjacks in the Morrison-Priest match. We got Charlotte versus Asuka following that. Really good match, I thought. You know, they're very good together. And then Rhea comes out before the ad break. It's so formulaic and rehearsed. I hate it. But the match was good. Cut to black a few times during the match. Apparently that was Charlotte's wardrobe malfunctions. You kind of see it happening. But yeah, it was like 3-4 times that happened. So maybe that Cruella DeVille cosplay is not a good idea. But the finish was Charlotte got in Rhea's face. Oh, there was also a botch from a Spanish fly where Charlotte, like Asuka didn't go with Charlotte, which is a bit weird.
Yeah. I did very much enjoy Charlotte's Andrade back elbow spot, which is now just sort of like, she just copped it into her arsenal, which it really works well for her as well.
Charlotte mouthed off at Rhea at ringside, got back in the ring, and Asuka also just rolled her up.
Yeah, then the commentators were very clear in telling us that Rhea Ripley beat Charlotte Flair here. It was nothing to do with Asuka, who has done nothing but been pinned since WrestleMania, it would seem. And just like this win did nothing for her. And the comments was like, it's all about Ripley versus Charlotte. Asuka is just there.
We got Morrison versus Priest, which we've already discussed. And after that, Priest accepted the open challenge. So all right, I was like, okay, we got four people now. Then we had another Eva Marie promo. Shelton Benjamin accepted the open challenge. I was like, fair play. If they can have a multi-man match, that's a cool addition. But he had a brawl with Cedric backstage. And then in the main event, we finally find out who is going to accept the open challenge. And it's none of those people. I was fully prepared for the, this person comes out, this person comes out. Well, you will all face each other and we won't get a title match at all. But it was Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I totally caught me off guard. Really, really an excellent sleight of hand. Because he didn't he was one of those people that never mentioned it in the night. And as you said in your review, he'd also had a match. So he wasn't a name that I was not expecting it to be. And he came out and I thought, what an absolute stroke of genius. And then they came out and had this match and it was just like Bobby instantly just planted him down. And I was like, oh my God, don't just pin him straight away. And it wasn't like he kicked out and they did like a bit of back and forth in this sort of stuff. And then they did the exact same finish they did in the Orton thing, which is Xavier Woods placed up on the trombone. And Bobby goes, blah, 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 a trombone? What on blazes is this? What even is this noise? And then Kofi just rolls him up to get the win. So like, and Drew caused a distraction as well. But like, it was a distraction finish.
Yeah, they did that spot. But Bobby was like, no, F off, mate, and kept on beating up Kofi. It was when MVP was going to cheat with the cane at the end behind the referee's back to hit Kofi in the head. But Drew stopped it from happening. He hit Bobby instead. That's how Kofi won.
Yeah, fair enough. I retract that then. I've already forgotten how the show ended. And then, but I mean, my guess is that we're going to get Kofi versus Bobby next week for the title so we can build to Drew versus Bobby at Hell in a Cell.
Maybe. Let's get onto that in a second. I was going to say that we all thought it was an open challenge for the WWE title, mainly because the commentary team kept on telling us it was. Yeah. But MVP, before this match started, said, oh, whoa, 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 because the referee was putting the belt up and everything. He was like, it's not for the championship, mate. I never said that. And they, to their credit, they played back the clip at the start of the episode, and he never said that. So I was like, okay. But now the problem comes, but you've just made the whole company seem kayfabe inept because they were promoting a title match
Commentators were the referee thought it was a title match. He held up the belt and everything. The announcer, whoever it is, this voice in the sky, thought it was a title match. It does make everyone seem a bit silly, a bit daft.
Yeah, really bad at their jobs. And I haven't seen it, but Meltzer and Alvarez were very down on that. They said they'd seen a lot of people felt like they were cheated. You know, like people stick around those whole 3 hours for a championship match that doesn't happen. Yeah, you're going to piss off a lot of viewers. But I didn't actually mind it. I thought it was quite fun and I enjoyed the surprise more than anything. But yes, the next direction, you think it's Kofi versus Bobby next week, not building for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
No, because I think the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view will be RK-Bro versus New Day. And then it'll be Drew versus Bobby at Hell in a Cell. I think they're just doing, it's like a background thing. It's just a way to kind of build to Drew versus Bobby at the pay-per-view.
I forgot about the tag feud they're in as well. Well, how's this? Because this is my other suggestion. So many people put their names forward. And this is the time of year where WWE just books all the multi-man matches. We haven't had a six-way Hell in a Cell since Armageddon 2000.
Armageddon? You want an Armageddon Hell in a Cell?
I'm thinking Bobby Lashley, Damian Priest, Mason Tiva.
What?
I'm trying to think of all the people who put their names forward. Sheamus and Shelton Benjamin. That's six.
That is one star and six jobbers. Yeah, no disrespect to Sheamus and Priest, but like they don't feel like they're on Bobby's level at the moment.
It's Hell in a Cell, Luke. That'll sell the tickets.
And Armageddon Hell in a Cell was full of like six of the top names going for the title. Like they had to do that because there were too many top stars and Rikishi.
I think it's comparable. I think it's comparable. Overall, I gave this 3 out of 5. But if I'm being truly honest, it's a 2 out of 5. But Raw has worked me over so much that I am grasping for anything floating in the sea.
I would also give this a 2 out of 5 show. Very much enjoyed the Kofi stuff and I enjoyed RK-Bro, but man, the rest of this show drove me nuts. So many distraction finishes and it's 3 hours is too long and there's lots of nonsense storylines. I hate the Alexa Bliss stuff. I hate that Damian Priest had another match with John Morrison. 2 out of 5 show for me. We might be out of step though, although maybe you're more in step. 47% said it was a 3 out of 5 show in our community tab. 26% saying it was a 2 out of 5 show. 19% saying it was a 1 out of 5 Rawful show. But yeah, mostly it's like 50% of the people there thought that this was a okay show.
That's high for Rawful. That's
massively high.
Yeah, yeah, it's big for, you don't get that bigger amount that often. We will read out all of your hyper chats very shortly, but thank you to all of our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon first. Go over to Patreon. Me and Luke are recording. I cannot wait for this. I was watching it earlier. TNA Sacrifice 2008, where I am watching it on the official Impact platform that is in the wrong aspect ratio.
It is in the wrong aspect ratio because I was looking at it and I was going to save this for yesterday's. Devon Dudley looks like a 4x3 image that's been stretched out to widescreen.
It's like watching Minecraft wrestle. Yeah. So this is it's delightfully crappy. I'm an hour in and I want to get back to it. I'm really enjoying it.
So am I. The Deuces Wild Tournament, so stupid.
Crap. It's like, it's so what rich. Other? How many new stars can we bury? If you work somewhere else, don't worry, we'll push you first. But yes, go over there. We're recording that tomorrow. It'll be out before the end of the week. That's our exclusive Patreon classic pay-per-view review. But also, at $25 a month or more pledge hammers, you get a Hall of Fame shout-out right here and a wrestling name, the Shrockmaster, Austin Shrock.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Justin, the Human Godzilla, was struck.
That's a great name. Have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons.
An expert dancer, Great Swayer Man.
Who wants to walk with Daniel Elias Crisler?
The Gent, Robert Brent.
We're all going on a Brian Huntley.
Sorry, someone rang me as you were talking. I cannot hear a word you're saying now. I was trying to guess
it. Who was it?
Was it Adam?
Oh, I've got it. Huh?
You got it. You're back now. Who called
who
you?
Who was it? It doesn't even say. Oh, I think I answered it. I think they just heard me yelling.
An expert dancer.
An expert dancer, great swayer man.
We've already done that one. We're
said
massively
that. The Gent, yeah, Robert Brent.
We've done that one as well. You'll never get this name right.
On a Brian Huntley.
Oh, that's the one I did. You'll never get this name right as your one.
You'll never get this name right. Matthew Zimjewski.
Moving sideways, Kieran Crabtree.
The harbinger Doom Lion.
Yanni Zane Hamid. Thank you all so much. And I cannot wait to record TNA Sacrifice 2008, because what a show it is. We haven't even got to the ladder match yet. The ladder match that it comes down to two people to have their singles match. Oh, no, it's a battle royale to lead to a ladder match where the loser gets their head shaved.
Yes, I just finished watching the video package for the Terror Dome, which they said is the only structure that can contain a great white shark. What a stupid way to promote this. But let's get to your hyper chats. Remember, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them. Ding, ding, ding. Last call. Adam Blamplate. I found the best way to watch Raw and enjoy yourself. Mute it and open Quizzlemania in another window and watch them at the same time. The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hi, guys. Thought this show was good comparing to other Raws we've had, apart from the priest thing, of course. English Mr. Davis. Can I join the All Authority? I reckon I would be better than that pesky other one you've had. Love you all. Yeah, I need to find a tag partner. Ryan F.
A quick suggestion to Adam Blamplate, though. Just watch Quizzlemania. Like, if your whole thing of just, like, you have to mute the other show, to just watch Quizzlemania and don't bother watching the other one.
Ryan F. I got Ho Train vibes when Lashley came out with the ladies. Bazo Banks. Curse you, Luke, for putting Lily and Alexa as tag champs and Lily going after Reginald into the universe. They always listen to us with things we don't want. Other than that, actually enjoyed most of Raw. Some really good matches, and I'll always love Kofi Mania. Ryan. The intangible one, Ryan B. Bad. Don't do it, Luke. Don't team with Ollie at Double or Nothing. We don't need a can they coexist storyline on WrestleTalk. Let someone like Nugget or Andy to team with Uncle Cracker. Oh yeah, skip to Raw again, but it looks like it was terrible once again.
I haven't even been asked.
Anyway.
It's not going to happen.
Eternal Blue. AEW will put on a very good but not perfect show, and we give them a deserved 4 out of 5. WWE put on a subpar, confusing and childish show, but because we like one tag team and enjoy the DQ finish main event more than usual, they get a 3 out of 5. Come on, lads. They're different scales. They're relative. But I agree. The intangible one, Ryan B. Bad again, said this last night to SRS, but my biggest fear with this crap Bliss character is eventually she's going to feud with Nia Jax and they'll have a repeat feud of Autumn versus Fiend and they'll feud forever with stupid spooky magic. There is context there. Nia and Bliss.
Yeah. Not that I care, but yeah, you're right, there is.
High Plane Drifter. Let's be honest, the best thing about Raw is Riddle singing Orton's theme with all his heart and posing like that. Looking forward to the inevitable tag title match, and Riddle makes Autumn begrudgingly wear the matching snake trunks he mentions occasionally. LJ Mickey, darkest timeline prediction. Nikki Cross makes a comeback, tries to bring Alexa back because they used to be friends. She fails. Cross joins Bliss, and now we have scary twins gimmick from The Shining. Thanks for the content, Jam That Jam.
I think we need to move past this Nikki Cross thing. I don't think she's involved in this storyline, guys. She's a lumberjack now.
WWE are never going to push her. Liberty K. So last week was my first time donating, and I realized Canadian dollars are worthless. The exchange rate is not good. That being said, it's almost like it's like an insult when you do that to us. But it's great to pay. It's great to pay Tempest in because it feels like I'm giving him way more than he deserves. That being said, I tried to watch Raw for the first time in 2 years, and I quit after an hour. An hour I can't never get back. Love you guys as always. Lovely time with the boys. Ollie needs to fist Luke. Hashtag tag team. Brendan Harris. John Morrison gets attacked by zombies, and all he has to say is that he feels dead inside. Seems the only effect they had on him was giving him the big sad. Maybe when they pulled him down, they just kept reminding him of how big a deal he used to be.
You used to be your Ryan Mexico.
Dean Barretton, unpopular opinion, but I find Kofi very boring and irritating. I was cheering Brian on at WrestleMania during their feud. Priest should have challenged Bobby next. The Lily impression from Mr. Davis was so good. I honestly thought she turned up.
I still laugh. In fact, I often sometimes go back and watch when you did that cameo of Lily. Hello, I'm WWE Superstar Lily. Still makes me laugh.
I watched Enola Holmes last night, and that's also the accent most of the women have, who are common. Hello! Common women. Common women from the Victorian era. Hello, Governor! Can I change your bedpan? Rob Steedley. Luke?
This company.
I couldn't read the preview, so I watched the highlights and I regret it. I think the New Day will be heels against RK-Bro, and trombones are the ultimate distraction in professional wrestling. I've got to be honest, I'm all there for a heel New Day.
I think they're babyfaces. You're supposed to think that their antics are charming.
Blight Patterson. I'm enjoying RK-Bro, I think. Could expand Randy's tag team issues, maybe have him address it for the first time he ever trusted anyone. They betrayed him in Evolution. I love that, Patterson. Tyler Woodward. The lumberjack match at Backlash wasn't that it was a zombie jack match. I know this is coming off a Miz injury, but I'm glad Priest will finally be able to do something different. RK-Bro is always the highlight. Also, have you seen the Denise doc? Jam that jam.
Yeah, Sean made a very lovely video for Denise about all their time together for her birthday. And it was very, very lovely and very heartwarming. But Denise hated it because it was mushy and Denise does not know how to react to that. So it's quite funny, really. James Hanley says, morning from Pennsylvania, gents. Just wanted to thank you, Ollie. I don't know why you messing up the name WrestleBackmania Lash makes me laugh every time, but it was much needed this morning. Homestar fan 13 says, imagine being an indie star who's made a name for yourself all over the world. And you sign with WWE, they've no idea how to use you, and you're just sitting catering until they let you go so you can go back to the indies. Why would anyone sign with WWE?
Because it's the big time.
Blake, people are saying the zombie jacks are the most cringy thing in WWE history. Have a short memory. Alberto Del Rio once hit Santa Claus with a car. Nothing will beat that. That was a Christmas show.
Yeah, and that was quite funny.
Tyrone Kidd, with Kofi Mania, it's not funny with hindsight. Tyrone Kidd, with Kofi Mania running wild again, love them on Raw Talk. Tyrone Kidd, don't lie that you watch Raw Talk. No one does. With Kofi Mania running wild again, the question I have is, what's your favorite upset match? Mine is Jericho over Triple H, Barry Horowitz beating Skip there, and that ending up being a feud.
Obviously, the famous one is the 1-2-3 Kid. It's probably the biggest upset, isn't it? I don't know. Upset victory.
It's that Jericho Triple H one where he won the title for that one night.
Yeah.
Right, because Earl Hebner did the fast count. I loved that episode of SmackDown. It was so great. Dre Smith, I'm so scared the WWE won't do Mr. Davis 2001 Hell in a Cell 3. It was 2000. I'm sad because after hearing it, that's the idea I want.
I wrote down 2001 in my script, realized I was wrong, corrected it, and read out 2001 anyway. So apologies then, everybody.
Oh, Davis. We've reviewed that show on WrestleTalk Extra.
I know.
I'll finish it up here. Manny Omega says, oh, Luke and Ollie, you've fallen into my trap. Omega will invade WrestleTalk. Okay, it may sound like I want to take over your channel. Let me explain. I do! While Luke and Ollie smile on your face, you've forgotten about us. Oh, you don't remember? See, Crap Gimmick Wrestling, all the men and women you signed, but nothing no more. Crap Gimmick Wrestling will invade. Well, then, hell. I think we've got copyright on
that. That'd be cool.
Dr. Trey Smith, I don't know why Mr. Davis' objectify equal stance was so funny, yet so agreeable.
The only way we're ever going to progress as a species is if we equally crap on each other. It's the South Berg's Park way.
So, Charles Berg, if you're not familiar with this channel, or this might be your first time watching, he doesn't like watching Raw, so he sends in poor reviews, which is reviews of dogs. Percy is a Parsons Jack Russell Terrier and is a happy, barking boy. He loves getting chin scratches and trying to steal other dogs' food. He acts tough, but is deathly afraid of cats. Nicknames Percyness, Percy Pringle, Purse E, sent in a pick. Pick is here. By the way, Charles, this is way more work than it should really be for this review show. But there you go. There's a picture of the dog right there. That's Percy.
He's afraid of cats. Get that Apparently dog so. Back up. Get that dog back up. You're a stupid dog. One of your main things is to terrorize cats, not be afraid of them. You're a bad boy. Silly boy.
And Small Afro Games. Hey, Jaron Walker's in the chat. Said, I'm genuinely shocked Ricochet kicked out of a bro kick. Did he?
No. He got that there was a knee. They did the knee finish that they did the previous night. But Ricochet kicked out of that, and then he hit. It was a brutal bro kick. I thought it looked great, but no. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I thought I'd missed something for a second. Yeah, commentary even thought it was a mistake at first. I think the mistake was actually yours, Jaron Walker. I got bullied by Twitter so much recently.
Oh yeah, because that's what it's there for.
But it's exactly what it's there for. I got bullied a lot by Twitter recently because I posted up a picture of me watching Blood on the Clock Tower on No Rolls Barred on my TV in my living room. I sat there and it was like a Friday night. I got myself a nice little cold beer and I thought, yeah, I'm going to support No Rolls Barred. I'm going to spread the word and actually just say how much I'm enjoying an episode of this show. So I took a little photo of it to be like, hey, everyone, go check out No Rolls Barred. Go watch us play Blood on the Clock Tower. It's an episode I wasn't in. And I was like, because they're doing absolutely amazing work over there. And it's so much fun content. And all people could focus on was my TV. And they bullied me for my TV.
Oh, your TV's because it's about your crap TV. You brought it on yourself. Oh, my God.
So my TV is about 17 years old.
Yeah.
And it's got like quite thick bars around it. And people were just like, dude, how old is your TV? It's like, come on. Like someone was like, my nan has got a better TV than that. It's like that sort of like level of stuff. And I'm like, guys, I watch Great British Menu and MasterChef. Like, I don't need a decent TV. People are like, you can pick up 4K in the cinema. I was like, what am I going to watch on 4K? Like Sunday brunch. Like, I don't need 4K Simon Rimmer and Tim Lovejoy.
And you never watch movies? You never watch anything outside? It's a nicer experience, too. I'm trying to find the picture, by the way. But you tweet so goddamn much.
You can just go, just filter it by media.
Yeah, when did you post it?
This was a while ago. I will say this was a while ago.
Oh, you said over the weekend.
Hold on, I was getting to that.
So. Screaming in a pillow. Something with Denise. Your notes on Raw one day, you seem to be grumpy about that.
Sure was.
Dude, I'm in April. How long ago?
Pretty sure it was in April.
Listening to Friendos, a Bill Murray gif. Triple threat. Here we go. With a cobra. With a cobra. Yeah, yeah. That was on March 30th. Current.
Hold on, I'm getting to the point. To answer your question, yes, I do watch films, and it doesn't make a blind bit of difference in terms of what I watch it on, to be honest. Anyway, point is...
Not from that distance. It looks like you're watching a film on someone's phone three rows ahead of you on a train.
It's not that small. It was like it's like a 38-inch TV.
Yeah, and 30 inches of that is the rim.
Anyway, long story short, I bought a new TV.
Yes! Nice work. Bullying is effective. That's what people always leave out.
It's a Samsung 4K telly. There's no rim around the edge. It's all got apps on it and stuff. Brilliantly, actually, the apps have rendered my PlayStation pointless. So that's quite that's quite good, actually, because I was my PlayStation was a very expensive Amazon Fire Stick. So now I don't actually need the PlayStation.
When the fan gets going, good grief.
Yeah, pretty much. So now that's actually rendered the PlayStation a bit useless. So that's quite grand, actually. But yeah, I bought a new TV. It took me forever and a day to set it up because you've got to go through menu after menu after menu, creating accounts for things. And do you want to set up the voice control? Do a bollocks. I do not want you recording me, you cheap ass TV. So went through all of that. And then I watched TV and I was like, I haven't noticed the difference. The only difference I've noticed is I was watching Game of Thrones last night. And I was like, man, season 6 looks well cheap compared to all the other seasons. And it's not actually now. It's just because I'm noticing all of the definition of everything. And I'm just noticing the show isn't quite as high end as it seems to think that it is. And actually watching it on my 38-inch TV from 15, 20 years ago made the show look better than my 4K one does.
Oh, my God. You are just... we can't get into this now because we have to go into... I've got so many... The AW podcast is going to be devoted to all of this.
Anyway, season 6 isn't as good. Anyway, let's get into the show. Thank you so much for listening. Pete and Tempest, the bastards, will be back tomorrow with the NXT review. And then we'll be back on Thursday with the AEW podcast. Happy birthday, Denise. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.